Holy Spirit, we thank you for today. We thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you would minister with your word today, that you would minister to our hearts, God, that we would truly be able to receive what you have for us, God, that we would have the capacity and the humbleness to receive what you have for us. We love you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you that you are here. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How is everybody? Yeah. Good, come on. We are good. Honestly, even during worship, man, like, when Holy Spirit wants to touch a person, he'll touch a person. He'll go, he'll leave the 99 to go for the one. You know what I mean? So when... I'm telling you, when Holy Spirit gives you an unction to do something, follow it. Follow it. Be so obedient. You know, sometimes it's not going to seem like in order. Like, God, you want me to do it right now? Like, people are watching. We're busy worshiping. You want me to do it right now? And God's like, do it right now. He's a God of order. But how many of you know he's a God of not your order, but his order? There's something significant about that. We have our order. We have our humanly order. But God has his own order. God has his own way. God has his own thoughts. So when Holy Spirit begins to speak, because everybody here who is saved, Holy Spirit speaks to you. Question is, are you listening to him? You know, I was in Africa. Praise the Lord. Now I'm back, you know, trying to get back on the straight and narrow for my stomach and the straight and narrow for everything else for school. But Africa, guys, was so amazing. But I, again and again, God just teaches me how important it is to have communion and fellowship and partnership with the Holy Spirit. It's so important. It's so important. Without the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. We can't do anything. So we basically, I went to Africa. Our primary focus was to preach the gospel. That was our focus, to preach the gospel, get people saved, cast out demons, and get people healed. But salvation, souls were our goal. So what ended up happening, we went to this one island, and we set up a stage and crusade. So when they were setting up, they were clearing the field, right? And they were clearing it, and one of the guys cuts down a plant. And apparently plants are significant in Africa. This plant was planted by a witch doctor. And as soon as they cut this plant, demons went and told the witch doctor that your plant was cut. In this field where we're about to preach a crusade. And you know, the witch doctor gets all mad and like, wow, they're not allowed to be on that field and everything. But guess what? They already had the rights to the field. They already told the government. So the witch doctor could not do anything. Why this is so significant? In a dream a pastor had, he saw how roots of a tree were uprooted. In his dream, he saw how a tree, you guys know a tree, right? And roots, it was being uprooted. Like before this crusade happened, right? And we found out that this tree was actually planted under a dead body. Over a dead body, I mean. So it was a direct channel to like the demon realm, to the demonic, right? But you see, as we cleared the field, like we cut that witchcraft plant. Because in Africa, people are like afraid of witches. Because they have some power, quote unquote, right? But Jesus has more power. So when we cut that plant, when that plant was gone, people were no longer like, wow, this witch doctor has no power. And people came to the crusade. They weren't afraid of it anymore. So it's so significant when we listen to Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit will give you dreams. Holy Spirit will give you visions. Holy Spirit will speak to you. You know, even in the services, like almost every service, we had demons manifest. And I talked to the team and they're like, yeah, man, like we've seen like healings and stuff. But this year, we've seen so many demons being manifested.
And I believe it just showed how much greater our God is than any other power. Any other power. Demons like screamed at the name of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus, guys, there's something so special about the blood of Jesus. There's something so powerful by the blood of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, like, curses are broken. Literally, we would proclaim the blood of Jesus and curses were being broken. Witchcraft was being broken. People were getting healed. People were getting delivered. Like, there's something significant when you give all the power to Christ. When you say, God, I am a body and I want Holy Spirit to use me. Here I am, use me. And God will begin to use you. But this is the thing. You have to give yourself to Him first. You have to give yourself to Him first. You know, we pray, Holy Spirit, use me, but we give ourselves to so many other things. Holy Spirit, use me, but we give our time to other things. And we're like, God is not looking for your ability. He's looking for your availability. Once you become available to the Holy Spirit, all a partnership, like, look at me. If I had a business with somebody, and I was in partnership with somebody. So partnership is someone who, two people who own a business. 50-50, right? If I never made myself available to the business, how could I be a part of that business? And we're all called to be a part of the Father's business. The Father's work here on earth. But how can I do that if I don't give myself to the Father? Like, it's a partnership. Like, believe me, God will do His work. God will do His work. He doesn't need you. But He wants you to be a part of it. Because if for people, for the love of people, if you don't do it, someone else will. He'll find someone else. Let's turn to Scripture. Amen. Yeah, Scripture. So Esther, let's turn to Esther. You can keep your finger on chapter 4. So here we see, basically, you know, people are in exile. There's a king, and there's a guy, a Jew, named Mordecai. And he was a faithful Jew to God. He believed in God. He worshipped God, right? And there was another guy named Haman. Everybody knows Haman? That always in like children's movies, his face is so ugly and like, you know, like that, you guys know who Haman is, right? So Haman is this like second in command. He's one of the high officials with the king. And when he would come into a room or pass by people, he like ordered people to bow down to him, to pay homage, to pay respect. But Mordecai would just stand there because he would not bow before anyone except God. Right? So, and this is significant because then Haman saw that Mordecai wouldn't bow before him. So he's like, oh, so this is the type of person Mordecai is. Guess what? I'm going to kill all the types of people of Mordecai. So he comes to the king and he's like, these people, these Jewish people cause trouble. These people do this and this and this. And the king's like, okay, do what you want with them. Here's a ring. Do what you want with them. See, look, when you don't bow to other things, when you don't bow to things you're not supposed to bow, like trouble may come. Conflict may come. Because this world just wants you to bow to the things. This world just wants you to respect and to pay homage or whatever you want to call it to the things of this world. There's going to be people in your life that are going to tempt you to bow. The devil just wants you to bow to him. Yeah, we don't worship the devil straight up, but he wants us to bow to evil. And what bowing does, bowing is simply like giving up yourself to something. It's simply facing something and giving yourself to something. So what are you bowing today for? Where is your time going? See, Mordecai stood firm because he knows, I am consecrated. I am given to God. I have no right to bow to anything except God. And what the enemy is going to try to do is to tempt you. Hey, bow to me, bow to me. And this is the thing. They're going to give you consequences. The devil came to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's going to deceive you. He's going to say, okay, if you don't bow to this, if you don't give your time to this, if you don't look like these people, this is your consequence. It's going to be a bad consequence. But following Jesus is the most important thing. But bowing to other things is a consequence. But bowing to Jesus is also a consequence. You're either going to suffer for Christ or suffer for yourself. You're either going to suffer for Christ or suffer for yourself. See, bowing to stuff may not seem like suffering, but I promise you, every sin leads to death. Everything that is not of God leads to darkness. Easily put. Suffering for Christ is like glory. It is glory. If someone makes fun of you, glory. You were considered worthy to be persecuted for the name of Christ. That's suffering for Christ. But suffering for yourself, like I can tell you, it's so not worth it. It's so not worth it. So we have this story, right? Mordecai. And all of a sudden, there's a decree that comes. It says in verse 13, 3:13, letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. This was the consequence of Haman, of Mordecai not bowing down to Haman. This was the consequence. Annihilate all the Jews, young and old, right? And guess what? And plunder everything they have. Steal everything they have. Seems pretty bad, right? See, the enemy, all he wants is you to bow down to something else. That's all he wants. If he can get your loyalty, if he can get you to stop facing and worshiping the Lord and do something else, he's done his job. If he can get you distracted, he's done his job. All I have to do is distract you. All someone has to do for you to miss this word is distract you. They don't have to be mean to you. They don't have to punch you. They don't have to. They could just distract you and you can miss it. How many things do we miss in our life because we are distracted by something? And it's not even someone else's fault that we're distracted. We choose to be distracted sometimes. We can be distracted with our jobs. We can be distracted with our school. Even good things, we can be distracted and miss what God wants for us in that moment. Right? So there comes a problem here because Mordecai doesn't bow to Haman. So and Mordecai's probably like, what in the world? So, Mordecai he rips his clothes, he puts ashes on him. And Esther was Mordecai's cousin, but Mordecai raised her like a daughter. And the king, if you guys know the story, basically, the king called his wife, who was the queen, right? And she didn't come, so the king's like, well, I'm going to ask, what should I do for it? And people are like, yeah, get rid of her, banish her, or else women are going to rise up and do the same thing. So the king got rid of his queen, and he's like, well, guess what? I'm going to find all the beautiful young women. We're going to do a huge bachelor show, and I'm going to pick the one for me. Right? And Esther was one of those who was picked. And guess what? She did everything like that the other women did, and God was pleased with her, and the king was pleased with her. So the king chose because favor was upon her. Like God's people had God's favor upon. So the king chose Esther, and the king didn't know that Esther was a Jew. She's already queen by this time. And Haman doesn't know she's a Jew. And Haman makes this strong, like, kill all the Jews. Right? And Mordecai's like, you know, rips his clothes, puts ashes on his head. He's like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Esther. So remember that the queen didn't come to the king, right? The queen didn't come to the king. So Mordecai went and said, you have to go to the king. Uninvited. Which was unheard of, because all he had to do was, you know, do his little thumbs down or whatever, and she would be dead. See, I bet she was confused, because the queen who didn't come got banished. But now she has to come, and she might get banished. So this is the verse I want to focus on, though, for today. It's verse 14, chapter 4 of Esther. Let's start verse 13. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do you think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews? So right here we see that Mordecai is like, well, if this decree went out, it's for everybody. You're a Jew, so you're part of this. Verse 14. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to this kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this. So this problem arises as a consequence of not bowing down, as a consequence of doing the right thing. And this is a time where Esther has to make a decision to save the Jews. But look, Mordecai says, if you don't do it, someone else will do. Like, the Lord will find deliverance. You know, there's so many things in our life, problems that arise, and sometimes we're like, man, I don't want to face this problem, let someone else do it. Yeah, someone else will do it then. But God called you to do it. There's ministries in this church, there's ministries outside of this church that many of you are called to. But it will require risk. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. See, the Holy Spirit will highlight problems in people's lives to you personally. Not to be an observer, but to be a problem solver. To be that person that is called for such a time as this. To be a voice in this generation. You're like, why are problems always around me? Because the answer lives inside of you. Problems should be attracted to you because the answer lives inside of you. You're like, why is there so many negative people around me? So you can be the light to those negative people. But it says, if you keep silent, if you're like, you know, the easy way out is just to be quiet. Oh, this person have problems? Let them figure it out. The church needs this ministry. The easy way out is just to be like, someone else will do it. I'll be silent, you know. I don't want to risk anything. I'm comfortable. Comfortability will ruin the move of God. Complacency will ruin the move of God. Because faith requires risk. Faith requires risk. It feels easy. You know, faith is not easy. Faith is not easy. Like praying for a person in a wheelchair and you're saying, be healed and stand up. That is faith. That requires risk. Playing on stage, that's not risky. That's not faith. Yes, we play by faith, we live by faith, but there's so many things that are easy, but they don't require faith. Believing in God requires faith. But what I'm trying to get out of this point is that faith requires risk. Faith requires seeing the things that you don't see before you. Does that make sense? Or no? Because it says, it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. And we want the move of God in our life, but we don't want to move in faith because it has risk. We keep silent. We keep silent because it's a risk. So Mordecai says, if you remain silent, some of us need to stop being silent. Talk a little more. It's like, I'm just trying to be wise. You know, the fool is considered wise when he is silent. But some of you need to speak up. Because the Holy Spirit is shaking your heart saying, go, I want you to go. I want you to be an answer to this person's life. He's shaking you. And you're like, oh, but it's risky. Oh, I might look stupid. Oh, my dignity. All this. Who cares? We're supposed to lose our dignity for the sake of Christ. We are to count everything as loss to know Him more. That's going to cost you your dignity. That's going to cost you your reputation. That's going to cost you what people think about you. If you're not willing, like Christ lost His dignity for you. It's our job to lose our dignity for Him. You know, we go, in America we have it good. Like we go to other nations, people are getting persecuted for the faith. You know, there was a story, a person was sharing, they went to just in the Middle East somewhere, and you know, they're ministering to people, ministering to a lot of Muslims, and this one time, this guy gets punched, this white guy, among the Arabians, because they were part of a church, and he turns around, and they have tears in their eyes. And they're like, wow, now you're one of us. Now we can trust you because you've been persecuted, like truly persecuted for the gospel, right? And as he's leaving this trip, as he's leaving the Middle East, and he was, you know, recording all of this, and he was leaving, they start crying. And he's like, why are you crying? Because, like, you're not able to do this like we do it? Like, are you crying because you can't go out in the streets like this? And you know, and they're like, no, we're crying for you. He's like, why in the world would you cry for me? You guys are the ones getting persecuted. You guys are the ones that, you know, are getting hit for the gospel. And you know what they said to him? They said, in America, you can go out and preach the gospel and pray for the sick, and nobody will stop you. Why don't you guys do it every day? Why don't you go out and preach the gospel? Why don't you go and pray for people? Like, why don't you? You have this freedom. And the guy from America, he replies, like, we're afraid. And they're like, afraid of what? Afraid that you're going to get hit? Afraid that the government's going to stop you? Afraid that you're going to get killed? And the guy's like, no, we're afraid to get laughed at. We're afraid of getting mocked. See, God will find somebody if you remain silent. But I much rather be the one that is used than the one that is not used. Some of us need to stop being silent in our lives.
Because I know Holy Spirit touches every heart to speak something. I'm almost done. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Did you know it's so significant that you were born at this time? Not in the 80s. Not in the 1500s. Running around in sandals and some sackcloth. Right? There's a significant time you were born in for a purpose. Every single person here has a purpose. And you were born for such a time as this. For such a time as this. There is something that God has called you to do for such a time as this. In this church, in this city, in this world, for such a time as this. Every single person here. You were born for such a time as this. God knew the time you were going to be born. You weren't too late, you weren't too early, but you were right in time. For such a time as this. The family you were born in, the place you were born in, all is significant. It's all to put you into your purpose, to put you on the pathway of your destiny. No, I believe God has called us to great things, but we must surrender to Him to see those great things. We can't just keep silent. I don't want to keep silent in a chair. I want God to use me. I believe everybody wants God to use me. If God doesn't use me, it's useless. I'm useless. I buy you a radio. If you never use that radio, useless radio. Because it's silent. If I'm silent, I'm useless. Silent in actions. I don't just mean if you don't talk, don't worry, you're not useless. Sometimes you don't need to talk. Amen. But I'm saying if you're silent with your actions, you're always silent with your words. If you're not being used by God, like you are still precious in His sight. He bought you with the blood. But I want to be useful to God. I want to come to heaven and He says, good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words, not lazy. Nobody, you lazy servant, come into my house. No, nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to hear good and faithful servant. But guess what? A servant serves. Amen. Biggest revelation. Come on. Amen. We call ourselves, I'm God's bond servant. Are you serving? Servant of God right here, you know? Stack the chairs and stuff. Are you serving? We claim to be servants of God, but are we serving? Are we silent? So, let's finish this story up real quick. Then Esther told them, verse 15 if you're following on, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. Can I have keys come up? If I perish, I perish. See, Mordecai said, if you keep silent, help will come from somewhere else for the Jews. Deliverance will come from somewhere else. But who knows for this very purpose? You know, Esther wasn't chosen to be queen just to be queen. Did you know that? And some of us in our earthly mindset would see like, oh, she was just really pretty,
favor of the Lord, she got chosen to be king. I mean, queen. But she wasn't just, God will not put you in a place of position just for you to have that place of position. God will put you in that place of position to be an answer to a generation. To be an answer to a problem. See, your position is never for your position. Your position is for an answer. Your position is for a problem. Your platform is for a problem. A platform is not just for a platform. You know what? Jesus had the biggest platform. Guess what his platform was for? To save you. It says, I have not come to be served, but to serve. His platform was to serve. You know, a lot of us, we want to be on fire for the Lord. We're like, God, we want to have these positions. We want to do great things. And that's awesome. And we should be like, we should desire those things. But we must understand that we're here to serve. We're not here for the positions. We're here for the problems. We're here to be an answer for the problem. So she says, if I perish, I perish. She decided not to remain silent, and she took a step of faith, a risk. She was ready to perish. She was ready to give it all away. She's like, I don't care. I'm going to do this. Because I feel like this is my purpose before God. Not to be queen, but to save. Save the Jews. So she took those steps of faith. She took that risk. And some of you today need to take that risk. Or make a decision to take that risk with your people, with your friends that you're trying to look good in front of. Because you are born for such a time as this. You know, in Africa, we did so many things. We did so many things. We went to so many places. The greatest thing was to see people saved. Just to accept Christ. That they discovered they don't care what witch doctor, they don't care what Muslim, they don't care whatever. They're like, I know this is for me. And they accepted Christ. They understood that they were born for such a time as this, that God had purpose for their life, that they're no longer just silent people walking around looking for something to do, looking for purpose in their life, looking for direction. But they understood that Jesus came to give them purpose, to give them life and life abundantly, to have a relationship with Him. So many people got delivered, so many people got healed. But the greatest miracle was salvation. Because now people from the kingdom of darkness, from bondage and slavery, come into the kingdom of our King, Jesus. I want to pray with you guys today that we would just be zealous for the Lord. That we would take risk for the Lord because we are born for such a time as this. That this youth is not a youth of complacency, a youth of comfort, but this is a youth that takes steps of faith, that takes risks as the Holy Spirit leads us to. You know, in this place we have future people who are going to be missionaries, people who are going to preach the gospel, people who are going to do mighty and great things. But you can't remain silent. You have to move and say, if I perish, I perish. But God, this is, I'm born for such a time as this because this is your time, not my time. It starts with the small things, guys. The small things. The small things. Holy Spirit saying, hey, get up. I want to spend time with you.
Just that little nudge, like, oh, you should go read your Bible. Oh, you should, hey, I want to do this. Or
that little nudge, hey, go talk to this person. Go pray for this person. It starts with little things. And as you do those little things, God raises you up. He raises you up to greater and mightier things.
Let's be Esthers, yeah? Guys, you can be Esthers too. A person who answers the call, no matter the risk. Answers the call no matter the risk of death or mockery. And guess what? She went and guess what? She saved the Jews. She saved the Jews. She took that risk and the king didn't kill her. The Lord will protect you when you take that risk. He'll protect you. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. You prepare a table in the presence of my enemies. Esther was in the presence of her enemies. Haman was her enemy. And guess what? The weapon formed against Mordecai, the enemy made, Haman made gallows for Mordecai. And Mordecai got hung on his own. I mean, Haman got hung on his own gallows. So the weapon that the enemy forms against you will be used against him. Goliath came in front of David with the sword. Guess what? David took his sword and cut off Goliath's head. It says, no weapon against you, formed against you, shall prosper. The thing is, weapons will be formed against you, but they shall not prosper. There will be hardships, but they will not overtake you, because you are more than a conqueror in Christ. So let us rise to our feet. If you want prayer, you can come up and I can pray with you, pray for you. If you don't, that's okay too. I believe Holy Spirit can touch you anyways. But if you just even want prayer, just blessing, or maybe you're like, man, I need some boldness. God gives boldness. God gives faith. It's from Him. Because He is faithful, full of faith.